why feedback and criticism feels so bad. Have you ever had someone criticize you only to spend the next 3 days replaying every single bit of the conversation in your head? Maybe you know they were trying to help, but it still felt deeply personal. Well, you're not alone. In this article, we're exploring the psychology of why criticism can feel like rejection, how childhood experiences, perfectionism, and emotional memory can shape our response, and why your brain may be hearing something very different from what was actually said. In the extended YouTube version of this article, I go into each section in more detail and also discuss why some people become defensive. The link will be below. Before we go any further, I want to make one thing clear. This article isn't specifically about rejection sensitivity dysphoria, RSD, something many neurodivergent people suffer from, especially those with ADHD. I have content on that coming up soon, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. Introduction. Most people like to think that they're open to feedback. We understand that nobody gets everything right all of the time, yet criticism can still feel surprisingly painful. A manager suggests we could have handled something differently, a colleague questions an idea, or someone we care about seems disappointed in us. The comment itself may be relatively minor, but we find ourselves replaying it for hours or wondering whether it means something much bigger. Logically, we know it may only be feedback. Emotionally, however, it can feel like rejection. That's because our brain isn't simply processing what was said. It's also trying to work out what the criticism says about us, how other people see us, and whether we're still accepted. Whether that response stems from childhood experiences, perfectionism, self-worth, or previous relationships, there's often far more happening beneath the surface than we realise. Criticism is not just about the words. When we receive criticism, the brain doesn't respond only to the words. It also interprets what they might mean. One person might hear, "This piece of work needs more detail," and simply make the changes. Another may hear exactly the same feedback and think, "They don't think I'm capable. I've let them down." The feedback hasn't changed, the meaning to it has. And it's usually that meaning, not the criticism itself, that hurts the most. This is also why criticism from someone whose opinion matters to us can feel particularly painful. The brain isn't only asking, "What did they say?" It's also asking, "What does this mean about me?" Childhood experiences shape how we hear feedback. Our response to criticism often begins much earlier than we realise. Children learn what mistakes mean through the reactions of adults around them. In a supportive environment, mistakes are normally part of learning. In a more critical or unpredictable one, they may lead to anger, shame, ridicule, or withdrawal. And the child can begin to associate getting something wrong with losing approval or emotional safety. Children don't always separate behaviour from identity. Instead of hearing, "You made a mistake," they may absorb the message, "There's something wrong with me." Over time, they can become highly alert to signals of disapproval, and that pattern can continue into adulthood. A small piece of criticism in the present can activate the emotional meaning of criticism from the past. The nervous system often reacts first. Criticism can also feel overwhelming because the body sometimes reacts before the rational brain has had time to access what's happening. Our heart rate increases, our stomach tightens, our mind goes blank, or we immediately want to defend, explain, or withdraw. All part of the fight, flight, freeze response. If previous experiences have linked criticism with humiliation, conflict, or rejection, the nervous system may interpret feedback as a threat, even when the current situation is relatively safe. That's why we can know intellectually that our reaction seems bigger than the situation while still struggling to control it. We may not simply be reacting to today's comment, but to the emotional weight of previous experiences too. Emotional memory makes reactions feel immediate. The brain stores emotional experiences differently from ordinary facts. We may not consciously remember every occasion we felt criticized, embarrassed, or rejected, but the emotional learning can remain. A particular tone of voice, expression, or phrase can trigger that memory without us realizing why. The current interaction begins to feel similar to an earlier experience, and the brain responds as though the same outcome is about to happen again. This does not mean you're choosing to live in the past. It means the brain is using previous experience to predict what might happen next. In essence, our brains are prediction machines. That ability is designed to keep us safe. The problem is that the brain sometimes applies an old warning system to a new situation. Someone may be offering constructive feedback, but the nervous system reacts as though humiliation, rejection, or abandonment is about to follow. When self-worth depends on approval, criticism becomes particularly painful when our sense of self-worth depends heavily on other people's approval. Someone with secure self-worth can think, "I didn't handle that well," without believing, "I'm a failure." But when we rely on achievement, praise, or keeping others around us happy to feel good enough, criticism can feel like a judgment of our value rather than simply feedback on something we've done. This is particularly powerful when it comes to someone we admire, love, or depend upon. Their opinion matters more, so their disappointment can feel much more personal. Perfectionism raises the stakes. Perfectionism can make criticism feel more threatening. Although we often associate it with high standards, it can also be a protective strategy. If everything is perfect, there's less chance of criticism, embarrassment, or rejection. Perfectionism becomes less about doing things well and more about protecting ourselves from criticism. The problem is that perfection is impossible. Every correction or mistake can therefore feel like evidence that we've failed, driving us to work harder, check everything, and put even more pressure on ourselves. Perfectionism may look like ambition from the outside. Internally, it's often driven by fear. The wrap-up. Criticism does not always feel like criticism. Sometimes it feels like rejection, humiliation, or proof that we're not good enough. That reaction may be connected to childhood experiences, perfectionism, fragile self-worth, emotional memory, or a nervous system that's learned to treat disapproval as danger. However, the feeling is not always an accurate reflection of what's happening in the present. Feedback is not necessarily rejection. Disappointment is not always abandonment. A mistake does not automatically change how someone sees us, and criticism does not have to mean that our value has been diminished. The brain may have learned to protect us by responding quickly and strongly to signs of disapproval. That response probably developed for a reason. But it may now be reacting to situations that no longer carry the same threat. When we understand the psychology behind that reaction, we can begin to separate feedback from rejection and behavior from identity. Criticism may still feel uncomfortable, but it no longer has to define what we believe about ourselves. What next? In the extended YouTube version of this article, again, I go into each section in more detail and discuss why some people become defensive. The link will be below. If you enjoy my content, I'd love you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. Every like, comment, and subscription genuinely helps more people discover my work and enables me to continue creating free content. If your organisation is looking to develop more confident, psychologically aware leaders, or you'd like to discuss executive coaching, leadership development, or keynote speaking for your next event, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at info@joebanks.net. If there's a particular workplace, leadership, or psychology topic you'd like me to explore in future content, please let me know. I'm always interested in hearing your suggestions. Finally, if you haven't signed up to get my weekly newsletter straight to your inbox, click the newsletter tab at the top of the page. As always, thanks for your support.